All right, Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses, I'm going to read 7 verses for you this morning, 14 to 21. And the Bible says that Jesus returned to Galilee, which is in the northern section of the Holy Land, in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up on the Sabbath day, and he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, the release of the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were upon him that day, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we would have momentous words like that, Lord, spoken to our hearts this morning. Today is a day of change. Today is a day that the message and the plan of God, Lord, would come from heaven, Lord, and come through the ages and come through this whole planet, Lord, and come directed to San Diego, California, directed to City Heights, Lord, directed to this very room, Lord, that we would hear, Lord, and we would receive from you, Lord. A plan, Lord, that comes from the foundations of the world that is for our liberation. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. I got a little buzz coming, I think, from downstairs, Mike. Can you adjust that for me, bro? Take those mains down and kick me up. All righty. Hey, I don't know how many of you, you didn't go to the game, did you, Ed? It was in Temecula. Yeah, it was a bit of a ride. And we made the ride up to Temecula, and Horizon was victorious. That's Joe and Leanne and Matt and Josh's school. And at the end of the game, everybody's happy, victorious. Everybody, you know, it's like, yeah, we won, we won. And I was sitting with the Gade clan. Clan included Pastor Scott, Lisa, Matt, Grandpa, not Grandpa Gade, no. Papa Brahms. Bromley. And future Grandma Bromley. So we had like the whole row. And after the game, I was walking down and I was right next to Papa. And I saw Josh come running up and he's in his pads and he's got his helmet off. And he said, "Did you see that block? Did you see that block?" And he said, yeah, I saw it. And Josh was just beaming, smiling ear to ear, because we want everybody to see the good. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He didn't come running up and saying, "Did you see the block I missed?" Right? No, we don't do that, because we don't want to show the bad. Clean your room. Wash your face. You know, we want to cover all the stuff that we don't want to have displayed, because we just want to show the good. The problem is we've got bad. We are people with bad tendencies. Can I get a witness on that? And so we spend our time trying to cover the bad and show the good. We spend all our effort, and Jesus comes to this synagogue, a Jewish church per se, back 2,000 years ago in his hometown. And he brings a message about dealing with the bad. Bad kind of sticks out for us. Amen? Plan of God discusses dealing with the bad. If you roll back to chapter 3, and I had to edit it, it's so long just to get it up on the screen, but talking about the lineage of Jesus, and Jesus going through his son, who father, they thought it was Joseph, rolls all the way through. You see son of, son of, son of, son of. Goes back through David. Goes back through Jesse. Goes all the way back. Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. Goes all the way back. You see Noah. You know, guess what? You know, hey, we're all related to Noah. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? Yes. Goes back to Enoch and Methuselah, names that maybe you know, maybe you don't. Goes all the way back to Adam, the Son of God. And as I read about that lineage of Jesus and ending, so to speak, or starting with God and rolling through all those men and through all the history of Jerusalem, and it ended up right there in a synagogue in Nazareth. Wow. Man, I hear these scriptures and I just, it excites me, the plan of God. But I'll tell you what, that plan of God ran through Nazareth, ran through Jerusalem, and keeps on running and runs all the way into San Diego, California this night. It runs all the way right here into this room this morning. And that you come in here this morning and you need a message from Jesus. You need a message of the kingdom of God that you need to deal with the bad. There's an opportunity for you this morning. Now, if you've got your Bible still open, and I give you this great build-up and this great intro, and you look, if you've got an NIV Bible, which is what I read, the heading of this little section of Scripture is Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. And you know, I read these verses and I'm just like, man, you know, the year of the Lord's favor, you know, the release of the oppressed, the freedom for the prisoners, recovery of, man, it's like, wow. Anybody get fired up over that? Everybody just get a little bit excited. But the heading is Jesus rejected. Man, how can they reject that message? Who wants to be a prisoner? Who wants to be oppressed? Who wants to be poor? That's good news for the poor. And Jesus was rejected in Nazareth, in his hometown. You read on in the Gospels, you know, we talked about the cross, that Jesus comes to his own received him not, and they crucified it, that he was rejected in Jerusalem by his own people. And my question for you this morning, as the plan of God runs from God down to Nazareth, down through Jerusalem, and he's rejected all along the way, what happens when Jesus comes to your house? When Jesus shows up in your house and causes us to start looking at the bad? Because sometimes we'd rather just avoid that whole message. Amen? Message today. Sorry, you're here. Mike's going to lock the doors. You can't get out. We're going to talk about dealing with the bad. Amen. That's what, Lisa? It's good to hear what God has to say. Can I get a witness on that? All right, still, Mike. Don't let anybody out. All right, here we go. Luke chapter, we're going to read a couple verses and continue on. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The power of God. Because I tell you what, we got so much effort put into the good in our lives, it takes some power to really peel back the bad and start to deal with it. But I got to let you know this morning that you're never going to get to the good unless you deal with the bad. Amen? All right, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and he taught them in the message of God, and the message comes with power. The message comes with the power of the Spirit. Next week, I'm going to roll back to the beginning of chapter 4 and talk about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. 40 days in the wilderness, didn't eat anything, didn't drink anything, and went one-on-one with Satan. Says that he went into that wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It says also, if you go back to chapter 3, that when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove would if a dove landed on him. It said it was so tangible, that impact in Jesus' life. The power that he received. He went into the wilderness with power. He started his ministry in Galilee with power. In fact, he talks about all the miracles that he was doing in Capernaum with power. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the message of the kingdom is a message of power. Right. I'll tell you what, we seem to be surrounded by weakness in our culture. I'll tell you what, you know who's got the power these days? Is the radical Muslims. Just because they're nutso. Just because they'll come and kill people. Oh, let's don't mess with them. Oh, we'll dump on the Bible all day long. We'll dump on Jesus all day long. I heard the other day that they're circulating that artwork of the crucifix submerged in urine. Oh, yeah. Let's try and do that with a Quran, huh? Nobody. We have no power. The message of the cross is a message of power. We come in power. And Jesus talked about power, talked about people who followed him having power. John 14:12. He says, I tell you the truth. He says, anyone who has faith in me is going to be doing what I've been doing. In fact, he says, they'll do greater things than these. Jesus raised people from the dead, folks. Oh, I long to see the power of God released. To see the miracles that are described and the power that is described in the Gospels released among us. Amen? Amen. Message of power. Message of the kingdom is a message of power. God's power was always part of God's plan. So Jesus is rolling in the power of the Spirit. And that message of power is a message for today. It says, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed him, and they actually had scrolls. You've seen pictures of them. And he unrolled it. You know, he had to find that section of scripture. You know, you kind of think it's like magic. You know, No. He said, whoa, let me find the spot. He rolled over. Maybe it wasn't the reading for the day. He said, unrolling, he found the place. He looked for it. He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It was written 600 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah speaking out to a people lost in sin. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. How many of you got about that part? My bank account not looking too fat these days. Guess what? I got good news for the poor. Amen? Amen. Am I the only one? Come on now. Amen. I know some of you don't even have bank accounts. Yes. Hey, we fit the criteria. The target of the message of God is winding through the ages from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the King David, through his son, all the way through Jesus, all the way to the poor sitting in City Heights, California this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Give me a witness on that. He said, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind. To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled the scroll back up and he sat down and he said, today's the day. Today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. I'll tell you what, folks, the message of the kingdom is current. The message of the kingdom is a message for today. 600 years they had been waiting. The message of Isaiah speaks of a restoration of a people, the people of God that were lost in sin. They had gotten off track, and it was a message for those who had gotten off track that you can get on track. Yeah. Now, isn't that cool? Because sometimes, man, you see, you are derailed life, train wreck of a life. No hope for you. But with the message of the gospel, there is hope for you. Maybe you come in here this morning, train wreck of a life. There's hope for you this morning. Amen? Message of Isaiah, you can get back on track. Message of Isaiah written to people that have problems, people that were poor, people that were prisoners, walking without sight, oppressed. I'll tell you what, I don't know how many of you have been in jail. Sometimes maybe just visiting somebody in jail. I've been on both sides. And I'll tell you what, folks, you're in jail, there's a sound that jail doors make. And those of you who've been on the wrong side, oh yeah, that sound. There ain't nothing like it. That door rolls shut and there is a clang and there is a resounding kind of resonance of that clang. Just chong! And there is no doubt you're a prisoner. No doubt that you are not able to leave when you want to leave. Jesus' message is a message of relief to those that are oppressed, to those that are imprisoned. Maybe you come in here this morning. Maybe you are chained by choices that you have made in life. Maybe you have been chained by choices others have made for you, and you responded in anger and bitterness and turned to an escape, turned to drugs, turned to relationships, turned to all manner of things. But you come in here this morning and you just hear a clang. And the Lord is telling you right now, you're a prisoner. But I'll set you free. I want to pray for you this morning. Roki talked about being set free. About changes happening, just being oppressed. You can be set free this morning. Let's pray for just a minute. Lord, I come to you this morning, Lord. And we hear that resounding clang in our lives, Lord. And Lord, by your Spirit, your message travels through the foundations of the earth, through Nazareth, Lord, through Jerusalem, all the way to City Heights, California this morning. And there's prisoners here, Lord. There's poor here this morning, Lord. And by your Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that there is an opportunity, Lord, to be set free. And as we are praying, and as the Lord perhaps is speaking to your heart this morning, He's saying, I'll set you free. But we got to start dealing with the bad. Because you're not going to find the good until you deal with the bad. The Lord is speaking to your heart this morning and He's saying, I will set you free. I will make you a new creation. Nobody looking around. But you're saying, oh God, I've been so oppressed in my life. I've been so challenged in my life. If you can set me free, I want to be free. Nobody's looking around. That's you this morning. And the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to raise your hand and say, here I am, God. Right there, right there, right there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and all over this place. The Bible says, he whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Lord, for each of these, Lord, feeling chained by their past, feeling chained by the culture, feeling chained by their situations, Lord, you have come, Lord, to set the captive free. I pray, Lord, your Spirit, Lord, come upon each one of us. Lord, especially those, Lord, that have raised a hand this morning and said, Lord, set me free, Lord. I pray you come in here with some bolt cutters this morning, Lord, that you just cut the shackles of oppression off, Lord, that you would set us free, and we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
You know what I think we do? I think we give the Lord a little hand clap on that one. Amen. I'll tell you what, you put your hand up, things will be different. We're going to make sure they are. We're going to work through it together. All right, kingdom of God is close. You just signed up for it. Bible says, we continue on reading. All spoke well of him. Now, wait a minute. I thought you said, Pastor, that they opened up this text saying he was rejected. We're going to get to that part. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. That's what the people were going to tell Jesus. Do here in your hometown what we have heard you did in Capernaum. Kingdom of God is close, but there are some people that are going to put up barriers. There are some people who come close to the message of God and say, oh, that sounds so good. All spoke well of him. But whoa, let's not get carried away here. Because the message of God, the message of the kingdom will come close to your situation. Amen? Some of you are saying, yes, I know I'm a prisoner. Kingdom of God is about change. Kingdom of God is about change for the better. Kingdom of God is about moving into the favor of God, into the favor of the kingdom. And that's a whole lot better than being a prisoner. Amen? Amen? I'll tell you what, you can have riches in heaven and not have a whole lot of money in your pocket. And that's a good old trade. Amen? Yes. Now, what I found though, you start being smart, you start walking the way that the Lord wants you to walk, and resources will begin to come your way. Amen? You stop hitting up Paula Casino. I'll tell you what. I went and got some, on the way up to Temecula, I got some trim downstairs. Ann said, we need to get trim. I said, can you meet me? You know, it's the off-ramp for Paula Casino. You know where that is? I said, lady, I got no clue. She says, well, that's right. I go, I've never been there. I'm not going there. I'm a minister. She goes, well, let's keep on talking about Paula Casino. Don't go there. They'll take your money. And your soul. Amen. Prisoners, it'll get better. God's message, Jesus' message, is a message that is good. And it's a message that is close. Now, often, folks, we deal a whole lot better with messages that are good than messages that are close. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? See, messages that are close are a little bit of a threat to us. We got no problem with Jesus just as long as he is a little bit of ways away. Messages that are close require a response. You put your hand up. See, maybe you put your hand up every week because there's never a response. See, Jesus saying, yeah, I know you're a prisoner. Now you know you're a prisoner. Now we're going to work on a change. We got to start dealing with the bad so you can get to the good. Amen? And so often we just want the good and we want to keep the bad right alongside. Jesus says, I don't roll that way. You're going to get to the good, you're going to have to deal with the bad. So now you put your hand up and say, man, I got so much bad in my life. That's okay. With the power of the Spirit of God, we can deal with the challenges of your life. Jesus says, hey, I got a message for who? The poor, the oppressed, the prisoners and the blind. I don't care what your problem is. I got an answer for it. Amen? Why? Because Jesus is ministering in the power of the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Now, here's where we start getting into the problems with the people. Because the message of Isaiah was a message about people dealing with the bad. You say, wait a minute. We've got all these prophecies of Jesus coming. Prophet, I never really read the book, but it sounds so good. Well, let me just kind of give you a hint about the rest of Isaiah. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, or his deer too dull to hear, but your iniquities. Anybody know any other words for iniquities? Sin, bad choices, problem. The stuff, the bad in your life has done what? Has separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You say, well, that doesn't sound very pleasant. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the pleasant level in the Bible, that would be low. That's what we call discipline. That's what we call judgment. And so all these Jews sitting there in the synagogue, they're going, whoa, 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 Isaiah, we know what Isaiah says. Because they had read the book. Isaiah's message was a message to the people who were lost. It was a message saying, you've got to deal with the bad. And they'd gotten good about avoiding the bad. Let's continue on. I tell you the truth, he continued. This is Jesus talking. He says, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. You guys aren't going to accept me. He said, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. When the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine through the land. How many of you want famine? No. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. That's way far north. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Kingdom truth will come as a challenge. He says, remember the prophet Elijah. We're talking about the people of Israel being lost. He didn't come to the... And Elijah was a heavy hitter. Elijah called down fire, man, and had 450 prophets of Baal put to death. Why? Because they were doing so well. They were getting paid. The people were listening to the prophets of Baal. He says, there was famine in the land. The famine in the land was because Elijah called it. He said, there's not going to be any rain for 3.5 years. And I'm going to head up to Zarephath. I'm going to head up to the region of Sidon. And I'm going to talk to a widow there. He says, surely you remember the prophet Elisha. Elisha, I looked it up. Hebrew pronouncer. Wait, why are these two guys in Spanish? They don't sound the same. The prophet Elisha went to Naaman. He was not a Jew as well. Prophet in Elisha's time. People following false prophets. People lost in idolatry. You are not going to find fullness when you're following a lie. Cannot find the good if you're not ready to deal with the bad. Type people in Jesus' day had lost their way. John talks about it. Says, he came to that which was his own, but his own received him not. They were all rejecting him. They all did not want to deal with the bad. They all had different plans going on. They all had different issues in their lives. John continues in chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And here's the problem. You can get used to darkness. The key, bro. I'm supposed to be a little quick. It's so different. It gets darker and darker and darker. And we just get used to it. It gets worse and worse and worse in our lives. And we just get used to it. And the Lord comes in and says, you want to get better? You've got to make a change. You want the good? You're going to have to deal with the bad. Amen? All right. Third point. Some people just say no. No, I don't think so. I'm not going to go that way. Go ahead and put me on 3 if you wouldn't mind. All the people in the synagogue were furious. Oh, they knew what Jesus was saying. Sometimes the message of the kingdom is a bit of a challenge. Sometimes we don't really want to hear what Jesus has to say. One pastor, he says, I had this message today. Literally tore the page out of his Bible. I've had this Bible for 20 years now. I'm not going to tear it up. But he said, but you don't want to hear that, crumpled it up and threw it away. Sometimes we just want to pick and choose. The people in the synagogue were furious with Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. Come on, if you're mad at the Messiah, you're wrong. You're mad at the wrong person. Amen? Amen. It says, they when they heard this, they got up and they drove him out of the town. Oh, I hope you're not driving Jesus out of your house. Because if you're driving Jesus out of your house, there's not a whole lot of hope for you. It says, they got up, drove him out of the town. They took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. Now, I guess you could understand where we get the title of this section of Scripture, Jesus Rejected at Nazareth. Some people just say no. They were prisoners of sin. They needed to make a change. They needed to start dealing with the bad. But rather than change, they just deal with the messenger. You ever do that? Crowd was going to throw him off a cliff, would be done with him. Now, we got some experience with crowds these days. And you see the crazy, unruly crowds that are the demonstrations and the violence that's going on in the Middle East and the hatred that is pouring out and just the craziness that can happen within a crowd. And you see that directed at the great Satan, the United States. But they hate Jesus too. Oh, they hate all that has to be wrapped up with Jesus. And that's what Jesus experienced. I mean, I don't know how many people are in that picture. Maybe a couple hundred. You figure? Had to be a couple hundred people in that town. And they were going to throw Jesus off a cliff. Because they'd rather have the bad and cover it than move to the good. Last point. Jesus just continues on. He walked right through the crowd and went on his way. How does he do that? I mean, was he like wearing a disguise? You know, was he like ducking down? I mean, you got crazy crowd. They got Jesus held up right there, going to throw him off of a cliff. How does Jesus walk through this crowd so bent on his destruction? He went into Galilee under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I tell you what, the power of the Holy Spirit is there for proclamation, but also there for protection. Amen? That it protected Jesus many times. It protected Peter many times. It protected Paul many times. And as you line yourself up on the plan of God, there is protection within the plan of God. Amen? But it doesn't work every time. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples, this is in Matthew chapter 16, different time. I also have a reference back there in John, where at another place that they had tried to seize him. Wasn't his time. I don't want you to get the misunderstanding that you line yourself up onto the plan of God and all your problems are going to go away. Because Jesus' problems did not go away that day. Jesus walked through the crowd because God had a greater plan for him. Amen? As you line yourself up on the plan of God, you will experience all that that plan includes. And there is some protection. There is also some responsibility to resist the devil and to push the kingdom of darkness aside. But there is a protection that will happen in your life. But Jesus knew that that protection was pointing him to the cross. Amen? And it says that from that time on, he began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day raised to life. They say, well, what kind of protection is that? Well, on that day that he was raised, he was also given a name that is above every name. Amen? That he was given a name that at that name every knee would bow. And every tongue confess, and there is salvation in that name. And the plan of God runs through the cross. And you can grab on to the bad and hide the bad, or you can own the bad, make some changes, and begin to move to the good. What are you going to say to Jesus? You're going to say yes, you're going to say no. He comes to your house today. He comes to this house today. And he would open your heart and say, there's bad stuff going on. Will you own it? Because you're never going to get to the good until you're able to deal with the bad. And that's what we're talking about today. Dealing with the bad. Jesus would come in here this morning. Dealing with the bad, not a popular message. We get so good at sidestepping the bad. We can find little ways, oh, give me a latte, I just won't think about the bad. Sometimes we used to do stuff worse than lattes to deal with the bad. Sometimes we just think, the bad's not so bad. I can handle this. These are the popular messages. How you can handle the bad without changing the bad. Oh, self-help books, oh, show me. Show me.
got to move in. If you want to move into the good, you have to see the bad.
Josh started that or ended that game, said, "Grandpa, did you see the block?" "Oh, yeah." I talked to Joe after the game. Joe said, "Did you see that sack?" And that's Joe running after the QB. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "What happened on the option?" Because this is that same quarterback. And there's Joe. He bit on the fake, bit on the bad. And he said, "Oh, he handed off up there. I can now go inside." Joe's job is to seal off the outside. Didn't seal it off. Quarterback ran 25 yards. "Oh, yeah, I got fooled on that one, Dad." Now, you know what they do? They didn't do it this week because the game was so late. But they have films on Saturday. Go at 9 o'clock, and they watch films. Actually, these pictures came from the films. And you know what the coaches do? They spend some time on the good, but they're going to focus on the bad. Because if you don't make any changes, Joe's going to bite on that fake every time. Now, see how many people are in there to tackle that guy? There's a whole team in there. Like, "Joe, we don't need you in there, buddy. We need you doing your job." And they won't spend some time on the mistakes. See, if we don't evaluate our mistakes, if we don't spend some time looking at the bad, we'll never get to the good. Amen? Going to get to the good, you've got to deal with the bad. Come on up here, Lisa. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your message, Lord. Lord, you come in power, Lord. Your power didn't stop that day, Lord, Nazareth, Lord. But your power, Lord, comes from heaven. Your message comes from heaven. And that truth, Lord, the truth of the kingdom, Lord, would cause us to look at the challenging issues in our lives. Lord, this morning I believe that you are speaking to hearts. You got stuff. You got bad stuff we got to own. Bad stuff we got to change. And good stuff that's available to us. Maybe this morning you are here. You know the Lord is your Savior. The Lord is speaking to your heart, saying, "It could be so much better. Let's not play games. I see the good you're doing, but let's take a look at some of the stuff that needs to be changed. I know it's hard. We're going to open up that closet that you like to keep closed. We're going to talk about issues that you'd rather not talk about. But I'm going to do this because I've got better in store for you." God's speaking to your heart this morning. God's saying, "I'll heal you. I got a message, Lord, for today. I got a message for you, child, for today that comes today in your hearing, that there's a message for the poor. There's a message for the prisoner. There's a message for the blind. There's a message for the oppressed. That there is an opportunity to enter into the year of the Lord's favor, God's mercy, God's grace being poured out on you. You've got to deal with the bad. But people with bad tendencies, we're good at covering it up. God says, I'm not going to cover it up anymore. We'll make some changes." Maybe God's speaking to you. Oh, it's a hard message. We can all gather together and try and throw them off a cliff and make up our own gospel, or we can do the hard thing and say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm ready to be changed. I'm ready to be transformed in my life.
I want to see new things happening, Lord. I want to discover who you are. God's speaking to you. I'm not speaking to you this. God is speaking to you. You know God is speaking to you this morning. He's saying, I want to see a change in your life. I want to see a change in this church. I won't see it empty anymore. I want to see it busting at the sides. You got to deal with the bad to get to the good. God's speaking to your heart right now. Not me. God's, you know it's God speaking to your heart. He's saying, this is you. This is you. I just want you to just stand up. Just stand up right where you're at. No hands up, just stand. God's speaking to your heart. I want you to stand. God's speaking to your heart. He's saying, I have good for you. You've got to own the bad. You want to own the bad, just stay seated. God's speaking to your heart. He's saying, did. 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 God's speaking to your heart.